What up? Welcome to another episode of 94 Feet with Coach JT. Please leave a like or a comment below. Let me know what you think, and it'll be greatly appreciated as I continue this podcast journey. Got a great guest for you today, a very special guest. Please bear with me as I work on this intro for this our guest of the show. Former WNBA international professional career of 10 years plus with the Sacramento Monarchs, Israel, Italy, and Turkey. Also, she was a two-time All-Big 12 conference player at the University of Texas. She holds the three-point record there as well. Also, an eighth all-time leading scorer in Texas history with 1,600-plus points. University of Texas single-game record score for 48 points a game. And just locally, here out of the 916 area, she was a graduate of Del Campo High School, two-time State Player of the Year. She also holds 10 California State records for 10 national California State records at five national high school marks. Among her accomplishments, let's go, 3,000 points in only 3 years of high school varsity. She averaged 35 points a game with a career high of 60. She broke Cheryl Miller's record of 1,300 points in one season and had a total of 379 three-point field goals made during her high school career. None other than Danielle Viglione. Danielle, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. And also, meant to leave out, but Danielle is a God-fearing woman, and it's definitely a blessing to everybody she is around. Thanks for being on the show today, Dee.
Absolutely. Anything for you, JT.
Thank you. So as the show says, as we know, 94 feet, we're going to jump right into this thing. Had to get a deep breath by reading those numbers there. They're very great. It's a blessing. And again, knowing you now for some years now, if you would, for me and others that are listening, but I kind of know because we have this conversation and we tell others many times, where does that your drive, your energy come from for the love and the game of basketball?
Well, I think it started when I was young and I was just competitive with my brother. Grew up in Michigan, Lansing, Michigan, which is near Lansing Everett, where Magic Johnson went to high school. It was kind of in the country, and so there was three houses. One of the houses was ours, and the next door neighbors was two boys. So I basically grew up with boys. And then they had a court at their house, just like a little pavement with a hoop outside. So I actually just took a loving and would go over there and just shoot baskets and just do my own thing. And I remember my aunt, when I was 8 years old, taking me to a Michigan State girls game. And I remember thinking, wow, girls do this too. Because you always see the boys on TV. And I just took a liking to it. I always played with the boys growing up just because they didn't have any girls leagues back when I grew up, and was born in 1975, and so was in Michigan until about 1985 when we moved out to California. So it's just growing up with the boys, the competitive nature. My parents entered me into this passing, dribbling, shooting contest when I was eight, and I won first place, and it was kind of addictive. Like, once you win first place, and then you want another first place and another one and another one. So I love to race, I love to cross country, I love track, I love everything that you could compete in.
All around athlete indeed. So coming in California and growing up here from Michigan at the time, what was the biggest adjustment for you as an athlete, as just a person living too, coming from that's a long ways away from home, California? How was that adjustment for you?
Well, you didn't have snow in the cold winters, that's for sure. It was, I'm pretty adaptable. I love to adapt. I mean, I wouldn't have lived the life that I have if I'm not.
Right.
So I welcome new things, and I was always in sports. I was always entering new stuff, trying new stuff, and I just always love to do new things. So it didn't really bother me as much coming out to Cali. You can get outside, and especially during the wintertime, and play more, and I would always be at the parks with the boys. I remember I'd have my parents drop me off at the Bella Vista parking lot.
Okay.
And I would just say, come pick me up in 3 hours. I won't be done for 3 hours, because I had a plan, literally, of what I wanted to work on that day.
Right.
And not too many, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds do that. We had a court on the side of my house. And it was just on the side of the house, they just had a hoop, not really a court. And I would go out there and I'd check off on the wall, And I would say, if I got my 100 shots, I'd put a check. And I had a bunch of, I'd do 500 makes a day.
500 makes a day.
500 makes a day when I was like, you know, 11, 12, 13 years old.
Right.
And so that just, it was exciting to me because I felt guilty if I didn't get it in. So if there was a day that I wasn't able to do that, we went to Hawaii and I brought my basketball.
No vacation.
Ridiculous. Well, I don't know, ridiculous. Obsessed, maybe.
Yeah. So. But you built that. That was something that was installed in you earlier, and you kept it going. So how was your parents' reactions about when you told them you wanted to do work on stuff like that? I see they obviously left you there for 3 hours, but were they kind of not, they weren't worried about you, but they're kind of like, what is she doing? Or how was their vibe when they knew you were so driven at an early age?
Oh, my parents were so not hands off. They provided me with everything that I needed and all the opportunities that I needed. And I just needed to make the most of them. That was kind of my attitude. And they grounded me from basketball. So they said, hey, you know, if you don't get to bed by this time, or if you don't do this, you don't make your bed, whatever the chores I had to do, I wasn't practicing, you're grounded from basketball. And so that kept me as a good daughter.
Right.
I was a good kid, right, just because I had that drive and that competitiveness to be the best. Right. And it ventured into high school too, with Paul Romick, my high school coach. And he would open the gym for me at 5:30 a.m. And
wow,
I would get up every morning. He sometimes would open in on Saturdays. He recorded during my high school career 3,000 hours outside of practice and weights and everything that was team affiliated.
Mm-hmm.
Just 3,000 hours in the gym for me.
So
I don't know how he did that, but he told that to somebody one day when he was being interviewed, and I said, really? You recorded that?
You had no idea.
He said, I did.
Wow. Yeah. So going from, I mean, just right there, that dedication, that drive at an early age, were you looked at any different from like maybe friends or people who kind of did more playing? But you said, I mean, that was so serious right there. That's dedication. Did you kind of just venture off from like the free play time? It was all about hoop at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of veered toward the people that were on the mission that I was on.
Right.
I surrounded myself with people that wanted to love the same stuff and were on the same path, in some sense, not knowing it as a kid, but just people that if I love to do it, I want to, and you love to do it, mm-hmm, I want to spend time.
That's right.
With you. You know, I mean, now not so much. I spend time with everybody,
right,
and all different people. But back then it was just, if you love ball, if you loved racing, if you love to compete, mm-hmm, I want to spend time with you.
Right.
And so I think I tried soccer. I tried volleyball. I tried all different sports. But I took a liking to, for some reason, track and cross country and basketball.
Right.
A
lot of the individual workout stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I just love to compete. And I actually played baseball for 7 years.
Okay.
With the boys, and I really love baseball with the boys because they're so competitive. I just absolutely loved it. It was a passion.
Nice. So going out, as far as the, let's go middle school basketball. Did you play middle school basketball?
I did. Where, I played at Dewey.
Okay.
Elementary, and then I went to Carnegie, and that was my junior high year, 7th and 8th grade.
And then I went
to Bella Vista my freshman year, and then went to
At Carnegie Middle School, where was all about buckets then?
it was all about winning.
Winning? Okay.
It was really all about winning. Yeah. Like, we won the championship.
Nice.
And I believe. I forget about all that stuff.
Right.
You know, they say later in life, you know, you forget. You reminded me some of the stuff that I did in my career. I didn't even remember that. Most of those things that you read off,
yeah,
I mean, you kind of forget that. But you remember how people made you feel, and you remember how people, you know, respected you, and you remember,
right,
how all the things that have to do with your character and and all of that. I remember more about people than, you know, as teammates, like,
right,
that, than I remember how many buckets they scored or assist records, or I definitely didn't have any assist records, that's for sure.
That's okay. That wasn't your job at the point. So
that wasn't my job.
Going from Carnegie to Bella Vista, like, let's go your freshman year there at Bella Vista, though. Was anything eye-opening to you from middle school, and did you play varsity your freshman year?
No, I actually played JV, and then I moved up to varsity at the end of the season. And then actually after that, I transferred to Del Campo. So,
right,
at Del Campo is really when I started my career,
yeah,
in a sense, on varsity, and took it off from there. So really in high school, I did everything in 3 years too.
Right.
Technically.
Right.
God's got a 3-year thing for me. So except for professional sports, that lasted a little longer.
Right. So at Del Campo, right, when these these numbers start going crazy. Outside of, like, again, you're still your same drive that you have. Did it amp up more? Did you go even harder at this point? Because, again, like I said, just looking at the numbers do not lie, and the stories I've heard from different people since we've met, and just the things I've looked at, it's like something else took place. Like, what did it grow, or did the passion just get, you just got more hungry when you got to the high school level?
I think when I got the high school level, I think I've always wanted to grow, but I think my passion really, I really knew what I wanted to do. Right. I really knew that I wanted to play basketball and only basketball. So after my sophomore year at Del Campo, I stopped doing cross country and mm-hmm. track, and I put all my focus and eggs in one basket with basketball. And I don't regret that. But I absolutely loved it. I remember being in the gym in the mornings at 5:30 thinking, I'm working out right now and I'm putting time in right now, and later in life, I'm going to be exactly where I want to be. I remember having that thought constantly, morning after morning after morning. And honestly, the answer is I am exactly where I want to be.
Right. You spoke into existence.
If I could put myself in a place right now that I would want to be, I could never imagine, actually. This is a better place than what I imagined as a young kid. But I just think that, you know, all the stuff that you do in high school, it's I know people talk about points and all that, but mm-hmm. I just wanted to be better. That was the burning desire. Like if I had turnovers, I didn't want as many turnovers in the next game. If I had, you know, free throws, I wanted to increase my percentage in practice or the game. And it was really as an ultimate goal to win the game and, you know, for my teammates. So if one of my teammates gave me a great pass. I wanted to make that shot because they gave me the great pass.
Right.
So not because I wanted 3 points or 2 points or what have you. I didn't want to lose the respect of my teammates.
Right.
And it was the same going through college too. It was an amazing experience just in all levels of my game. I just played with so many great people mm-hmm. that that's what makes it, is the relationships. Yeah. I mean, now going through high school and college too, and even professional, I mean, you want to win the respect of everybody, and you want to play hard for them and win together.
Right.
And it's never about you. It's never about me. It's never about I. Right. It's always about we. And how can we do this?
I can definitely tell
that. That was the fun part.
I can definitely see that when you come across some of your former teammates or players, they come into town the past few years. It's just like, you know, it's like you don't skip a beat, right? The love, the memories are there. Like it happened just yesterday, I think, and that's super dope because, I mean, that's everlasting, like we talk about. That's forever. That's something that's just going to always be there. So during this crazy run at Del Campo, I mean, again, things are going on. How many league titles did you win? Did you win a 3 in a row as far as league?
Oh, gosh, now you're challenging my memory. We won the league, I believe. I remember 2 out of 3, I believe. We lost in the section finals.
Okay.
No, we won the league every year, I believe.
The sections.
And Bella Vista was one of our rivals. We won the section. We lost the section my sophomore year, I believe, because I remember the next morning we lost to Baxter. He's now at Sac State, but he was at El Camino at the time. So we were huge rivals, El Camino and Del Campo. And we actually lost El Camino the next morning. I was in the gym at 5 a.m. working out for the next season.
Working out. No days off.
And
sounds
and
about
I
right.
The next season, we won the section.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, that's
I was so upset
that
I had to get in the gym, because you're not sleeping anyway as an athlete when you lose a game, or, you know, you have a terrible game. You know, you let your teammates down.
Right.
Or your coaches down, or everybody that's counting on you.
So. Nice. So throughout this basketball show, again, as we know now, like high school, again, some of the best times of our lives as well. I mean, I just got to ask this too. Did you partake in any of the high school activities, or again, like, was it just basketball or nothing at that point? Because I mean, you know, nowadays we have, you know, the daily life as far as activities, senior balls and stuff like that. Or was it more so like, I'm dedicated to the basketball, I'm going to miss out? What was your biggest sacrifice? I'll say that. What did you miss out on?
Honestly, I didn't miss out on anything.
Okay.
If you ask me, I'd have no regrets for the decisions that I made.
Right.
I went to senior balls and junior proms and whatever dances they had with friends. And a couple of best friends from the team. There's lots of best friends from the team that I had, and I still have today. And, you know, another good friend, some of the friends from the guys' teams, you know, I went to senior ball with Bobby Edwards. So he played at Oregon State. So he was one of my friends. So we, you know, I think I just stayed with basketball in my head. Right. I was a nut.
Right.
So, I mean, we had something in common, and in college too, because when you get to college at Texas, when you get to a Division I program, it's all basketball at right. school. And I was dedicated to getting good grades. I remember I was also challenged with grades too. So I was a perfectionist, and sometimes that can be good and bad. But I got a B plus in chemistry, in honors chemistry. And it was like an 89.2 or something. And that was the only B plus I got in high school. I got all A's. But that made me mad. That made me
So doing those years of high school, the success, you have the records. But now, as far as your senior year, I'm looking on this little bio too. The letters are rolling in from everywhere. Like, so how does a young lady ball player at this point decide school wise? Like, how did that process work for you?
I remember sitting in eighth grade at Carnegie and getting my first letter from Stanford.
At eighth grade?
And, well, no, I think everybody goes to the Stanford camps. And stuff, but so they're really good about recruiting. And
right.
I get this letter and I look at it and I'm like, wow, this can really happen, because I never really thought about that before. And then, you know, more started coming in, and I really narrowed it down to Arizona, Colorado, Texas, and Notre Dame. Those were my top four. Went on five visits, but I really sat down at the end of the day, the night before signing, and my high school coach, Paul Romig, asked me, hey, where would you want to go if you could never play basketball again? Just ask yourself that question. And during the whole time of recruiting, I had to also hang out with the girls that were at the team. You know, you go and you just spend time there. And I got a feeling when I went to Texas that it just felt like family.
Right.
Nothing against any other school. It just, for me, it felt like family. And when I went there, Jody Conrad, amazing coach, and she taught me a lot while I was there, on and off the court. And I made the decision based on that. Like, where would I want to be if I could never play basketball again? Right. And the answer was Texas, because it was so down to earth. It was more my personality.
It fit you.
Texas. I mean, you walk into their arena and it's huge. everything's bigger in Texas, I guess, including, you know, you go out to eat, get this water.
Right. Like, huge mug.
2 feet high. Everything's bigger.
Right. Definitely. I could see that. And that's a good question. That makes sense. I mean, I definitely could see. It makes it a little easier to decide then, because that is where you want to go reside or you feel comfortable at, and you're in your surroundings, right? That's very good. Okay, so you get to Texas. Is this your first time? Probably not, but like leaving home permanently for this long?
Yes. At this point? And I will tell this story about the recruiting process, because I tell this to all the kids that I work with. I always say that Texas saw me play between my freshman and sophomore year at a BCI tournament, which is like AAU. Mm-hmm. And that was really my first tournament. There wasn't really a lot of BCI tournaments. And we were a 5'10 team playing with all, you know, 5'10, 5'11, 6 foot. And we were playing a team 6'5, 6'3, all athletic and jump out of the gym. And I remember having the worst game of my career. Like, what I felt to that point was the worst game of my career. Mm-hmm. Missed every shot. Couldn't hold on to the ball, like would go to penetrate and get my shot blocked, get it back, get it blocked again. I think there's one time I got my shot blocked three times in one possession, just under the basket. And after that game, I said, well, whoever's watching this game, it's done,
over, right?
I mean, there's no social media, so that's a good thing back then, right? They can't show all the coaches. And so it's funny, because the assistant coach was there that day at Texas, and she went to the head coach and she said, you know what? We need to recruit. You need to go see her play tomorrow. We need to recruit her. She's going to change the culture. She has no fear. So the reason they started recruiting me was I had no fear. Like, I didn't care about messing up. I didn't care about looking bad. I just kept playing and just competing. And that's why they started recruiting me. I kind of knew I could shoot the ball a little bit, but that's when they saw me play. That was the main thing.
Right. So that work and ethic and that drive just took them over the top immediately too. That's so dope.
Yeah, I mean, even though I'm not having a good game, I'm still trying. I'm still going hard. Nothing's changed, and they like that, I think. And we talk about to this day, there was five freshmen coming in that year with me. So there was, four others. So there's five of us freshmen. And it was just an amazing year being so young. Three of us started that year, and, you know, two were high contributors.
Nice.
And so to go from such a young team and to lose five seniors the year before, it was a rebuilding year, but I loved that. And we ended up winning the Southwest Conference tournament and Southwest Conference. And at that time, Southwest Conference, and it went on to the Big 12 my senior year.
Mm-hmm.
So I love being an underdog.
Right.
I'll be the underdog any day.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that too. So you're at Texas playing, again, changing culture, being the underdog. Just, I would say, a couple highlights that you do remember from that, your time there, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us something that maybe stand out or a shining moment or two.
Oh, I tell a lot of stories about when I'm there. I mean, it's an amazing place, amazing culture. Two biggest moments, I would say. One's a funny one, and then the other one is probably the biggest decision I've ever made in my life. Mm-hmm. Is my freshman year at Texas. The reason I played 3 years is after my freshman year, I got injured, and my sophomore year, a whole sophomore year, was out. Had already played four games, so couldn't redshirt. So I had to sit out the whole season. So first time in my life without basketball. So there was definitely a void. Like, what's my purpose? Why am I here? What am I doing? Like, I just feel empty. And I've strived my whole life for this, and now I can't strive for it. I just have to sit here. And it's like God kind of took basketball from me to give me him. Mm-hmm. and a bigger purpose in life. And I remember being that's why I like to speak at FCA. I really am a firm believer in FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Mm-hmm. And they actually have it here in California. And that's where I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. So that decision to accept Jesus into my life, that sophomore year, around September, October, was the biggest decision that I've ever made, because it's changed the whole course of my life.
Right.
And the way I think, I did not become less competitive, that's for sure.
Right.
It's just, I feel like God has been able to do a lot more through me than I've ever been able to accomplish myself.
Right, through that subtraction.
And that was huge.
Yeah, through that subtraction, he added a whole nother just blessing to your life.
Absolutely. A whole new way of looking at things. Like, I do the preparation, I prepare, and then God's reputation is at stake. So his glory, I'm playing for his glory. I'm not playing for my glory or for anybody else's glory, or not trying to impress anybody. And, we're playing for us, for our team, and for him.
Nice.
And, you know, that's all that matters. It takes a lot of stress and out of the game. And, you know, the second thing that I would say is we were playing at A&M. And there was a loose ball knocked out of bounds, and I was signaling to the referee, or I was taking the ball out of bounds, I think, and we got the ball back, and I threw it in, and the dog, his name is Reveille, and he was sitting on the side with his little commander, and it was a live dog, and he, like, I don't know what I did, but he attacked me.
Oh, wow.
And he grabbed my shorts, and he tore them down, and he, and this is on ESPN too, by the way. And nobody saw it because Jody Conrad was talking to the referee for something, because I don't know, I probably did something wrong.
Yeah.
Made a mistake, threw it away, something. And after the game, during the game, I came out, and the trainer looked at me, and she's like, wow, I can attest to this. There's a red mark, like from a tooth mark.
Ew.
There. And as I'm pulling up my shorts to show her, ESPN, like, zooms in on me, right, pulling up my shorts.
Dog bite.
So at the same time, like, I'm on, you know, like, everybody wants to be on the ESPN top 10 plays.
Right.
That's, like, your goal.
Right.
But I'm on, like, the bloopers, right? Like, the top 10 bloopers. Like, that was definitely a blooper. I'm
wow.
the only one to get bit by a mascot.
Wow.
In the middle of a game.
That's
so
crazy.
I come out of the game. She takes me out of the game. She said, what is wrong with you? Why do you look like that?
Yeah.
And we're down by two. And I said, I got bit by the dog.
Wow.
And she was like, go sit down. And so
it's
funny story to this day, because it was in the newspaper the next day.
Wow.
One of the fans found the article, but we cannot find the footage.
Oh,
so
my
everybody's
goodness.
Looking for the footage still to this day.
Wow, that's hilarious. So how many people fit in that stadium arena? About how many? I know it's huge down there.
Gosh, I don't even know. 17,000
people.
Well, we used to average 9,000 fans a game.
So I can imagine tournament time or rivalry game, right? You got to amp it up. You got to amp it up.
14,000.
Wow.
Texas Tech is there. 14,000.
That's amazing.
It was so awesome, and they made these three cards.
Uh huh.
Right, these big cards with a big old three on it. And anytime someone on our team, because we like to shoot the three as a team. Jody Conrad, Coach Conrad, like to run. So we like to, I mean, Nikisha Henderson, AJ, all my teammates love point guards. All the point guards, they love to run. Everybody was running. Okay. And they just loved it. And they just, everybody in the place would hold up a three card every time we hit, to get all excited.
Nice.
So it was definitely a fun time. Nice. Oh, my goodness.
How was it? I guess it was, I mean, I'm sure I know you how passionate too. Like, on a 1 to 10 scale, how high every game coming there was your energy, like out the roof every game? Because I know that those feelings like that are just you can't really even describe them, because this feeling like, I don't know, it's indescribable, right? 1 to 10, were you at a 10 or above every time you stepped on the court?
Yeah, I would say, I'd be honest. I mean, there are times where you're just tired. Okay. And you played 40 minutes and you just got to perform. And there were times where you go mentally into the game and you just feel like you're not prepared, or you go in and you're just prepared. The games that I just had fun and competed were the best games, the most fun games, right? And so even to this day, I tell athletes, I'm like, forget about all the rest. You have fun and you compete and you have fun with your teammates and win. And that's what your job is to do.
Right.
And so I think when we start focusing on other stuff, like, you know, by my senior year, we were ranked top 10. Okay. And so it's not like being an underdog. It's a little different.
You're hunted.
You got to stay there.
Yeah.
And so you feel the pressure a little bit. When you let the pressure affect you, you really become a different team, a different player.
Nice.
So that's the mental side of the game. You know, how do you not let the pressure get to you? How do you, a little bit of nervousness is good, but too much is, you know, you don't want to get psyched out by who you're playing against. Or I just remember when we played our rival teams, we were just out to get them. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how you have to think about it. We loved it.
Right.
And it was just a fun time. But I guess on a 1 to 10, I mean, gosh, I don't know. I mean, some games are 10, some games are 9, some games you feel like you start the game and you're like, why am I so tired? I gotta pick it up.
Drained.
You know, and you're talking to yourself throughout the game. But for the most part, we all gave our all. We all gave what we could during the game.
Right.
And we left it on the court. And also, putting on a Texas jersey, I mean, the pride and the just to make everyone there at Texas. When I was inducted in the Texas Hall of Fame, or the Hall of Honor, in 2019, when I did my when I went up there and spoke, I said, you know, all I wanted to do, I had Coach Conrad stand up and my teammates that were there to support me. And I just had everybody stand up. All I wanted to do was make you guys proud.
Right.
And, you know, that's what I said. And stepping on the court and stepping on the campus, I wanted to make everybody proud with how I conducted myself, by my character, by who I was, by what I believed in, by my convictions. And, you know, the basketball just came.
Nice.
So, it added to that, you know, I think it's a lot about all of that stuff. You know, I mean, a lot of times when I was overseas, I continued to play overseas, I truly believe, because of my character.
Right.
And, you know, I stayed on the team. Maybe not. Maybe they said, I'm not going to risk getting someone in here that's just going to wreck our team. Right.
Right.
So we're going to keep this girl that's a good girl. Right.
Right. Character, great is out the roof. And
great character, yeah. And so I really believe that has been beneficial.
Nice.
And, you know, just relationships and life. And I still stay in touch with everybody from my career.
Right.
Not everybody, but most people. A lot of people that I connected with. Yeah.
I definitely believe it. So great time at Texas. Great run. After your senior year, what's on your mind at that point? What are you thinking? Is it next? Is you for sure next level, overseas?
Well, they had the WNBA come out in 1997. So they invited, from that college year, 1997, they invited 15 college seniors to come to this combine. And it was a combine of 15 college players, so 14 other players with myself. And then all the players that have been playing in the ABL or overseas, all the great players, they could be 35, they could be 30, they could be 25. They're all trying out at this combine. And so obviously I was just honored to be there, and I wanted to get drafted the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I went, and I just didn't really feel like I did a great job, but I gave it my all, and I did not get drafted. But, Sacramento, I tried out in Sacramento. They showed interest. And I also tried out in Utah. But the tryout was like 3 hours, 9 hours a day, 3 hours, 3 hours, and 3 hours. I think they just wanted to see who was standing at the end of the day.
Wow. Yeah.
So, and then the second day we did 3 hours and then a 2 hour session with the top 20 from the combine, from their individual tryout. And, I was in the top 20, ended up making it with Carissa Yason. So Carissa Yason and I, joined the team, and, it was a developmental player at the beginning of the season, and then got activated a little bit into the season.
Great. That so huge blessing. Family vibe at this point. How was your parents feeling? I know they're
over. Oh, it was amazing because I was in Sacramento.
Back home.
And I actually didn't live in the apartments. I just lived at home. And it was great. It was just an honor to be there and just meet so many people, be able to play Arco Arena, well, Sleep Train or Golden One now.
Right.
But it was just, and by the way, it was totally different back then. There was nothing there, right, compared to now. But
empty.
I just remember driving from Fair Oaks to Sacramento, the Natomas every day to the arena. And it was just, I definitely don't regret it. I remember knowing that I wasn't getting in the game. And I would still give my all because I know that this is going to make me better if I do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to set me up for my career overseas if I get a chance.
Right.
And so I would go against Ruthie Bolton every day in practice. And she's one of my best friends still to this day.
Great lady.
In fact, we do the play for him together every Sunday, every other Sunday. So
great woman.
Yes, she is amazing. She is definitely amazing. I can't say one negative thing about her. But yeah, so we got to know each other and, just getting to know some of the girls on the team. One of the girls, Denise Graves, I actually got a deal overseas. And, when I went to Turkey for my first year, she was the other American with me, for the first part of the season. And it was just funny because I just played with you a year and a half ago.
Right.
So it's funny how that works with basketball, but yeah, I played for them and then got to go to Israel for 1 year and then went to Turkey for 2 years and then Italy for 6 years. And then, in the middle, I did play for AIA Athletes in Action in Poland and Croatia and, a lot of different places. I enjoyed that. And basketball is my life. Basically lived out of a suitcase.
Right. So
from about 22 to about 32.
About 10 years straight of that. Just, did you ever get mentally drained with the over back and forth as far as, living over there for a certain amount of months and then coming home? Did it ever kind of wear on you?
Oh, yeah. I would be there 9 months and then come back here for 3 months and then go back for 9 months. And after about, 7-8 years of it, I said, you know what? Maybe this is the year I'm kind of done. I want to do something here.
Okay.
And, I trained kids on the side during the summer times when I came home. So that was just fun for me.
Okay.
And so when I decided to retire, my agent thought I was crazy. Because I retired at 32, and he said, "You have the best contract of your career. You're going to be on the best team of the league.
Mm.
And this is in Italy. You are crazy," basically is what he was saying. And he was still, and I had to sign for the year starting in August, and he was still calling me through January to come for the second part of the season because it was just on paper they can't see why I don't want to play.
Right.
But it's not that I didn't want to play. I just felt like it was my time. And I felt like I called my pastor. I called Bob Ballion, who's now the chaplain for the Kings. And he said, God's got bigger things for you. And, your heart's changing for something else.
Right.
And the passion is going for, and it really changed others. Like I was just way more passionate about others and helping them. And funny thing is I waited it out, and it was a major blessing because I got the call from 24 Hour Fitness. I was recommended, and they said, could you be our area manager for the Hoops 24 at then Hoopology? And so basically that started me working with 24 Hour Fitness, and the salary was about the same as I would have made overseas. So
you couldn't ask for nothing better than that.
Yeah, it was, that's just God kind of saying, your obedience to me, I'm going to bless you for it. Yeah. And it doesn't always happen like that.
True.
But it was just God picks times and places to say, I appreciate your obedience.
Right.
I'm going to show you that I'm in this and I'm a part of it. And there's been, numerous times every year that happens to me.
Right.
Where he just shows through his spirit or through him that he's there. He's here. He's with me.
Right.
He's in me.
You definitely see that in the business. And so you get the opportunity at 24 Hour Fitness, and it really starts to even – I can go back now and still look at some stuff. It moves so swiftly. The training, I believe, locally in area, just nationwide, the training in basketball starts to pick up around that time when, you know, the trainers start coming in, and 24 Hour Fitness is like a nationally recognized, you know, gym. So that drive and that passion to teach others, I believe, has paid dividends to everybody that's come across. But how does the Pacific 916 Skills Academy come together?
Well, you know, what's funny is that they got rid of Hoops 24, and they said that you could be a third party going into that. So Sam Long and I, and Aaron Lawrence and Aaron Perry, I don't think you yet were there, JT.
Not yet.
But you were soon to come right after that. It was the four of us, and we sat there, and we said, you know what? We came up with Sacramento Skills Academy because we didn't want it to be Sam Long or Danielle Viglione or Aaron Lawrence or Aaron Perry. We wanted it to be Sacramento.
Right.
And so, you know, it was, 916 is just kind of a fun abbreviation.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it funny thing is that the relationships you create, and it's still to this day, the relationship you created then,
yes,
push you into the future. So because I was with Jason Perkins from the Bay Area at 24, we flew to Portland one day, met with the USA Basketball High School director, Tony Dorado. When he came in town, trained his kids, got to know him, and then now I'm a part of doing Nike stuff. And now I've met Eileen Hauser from Nike, and just an amazing woman. She's with USA Basketball for Nike. And now I'm going to China and all these places to do camps and meet new people there, and then going to Hong Kong because you meet people there. And then it's just when you're right on, when you're obedient and you're in, when you're in, sometimes you go off and you stray away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like God kind of brings you right back to where you need to be. And I just feel like I'm kind of living my life, walking down the road, and He's bringing people in my life every single day that I need to be surrounded with, and or that I need to surround myself with.
Right.
And that's the story of my life. It's kind of, I've just been blessed. I just can't.
And
complain. And if I did, it wouldn't do it much. But.
Right. And that's, I think, just through sports, just an opportunist, somebody who's value relationship as well, myself, and values friendship, but definitely loves ball as well. But it's definitely fulfilling to be around like-minded people, but also people who share the same passions as you, but also the same one to give back to. Like, I mean, you're always willing, I mean, from play for him to doing different things for different communities of people, no matter where they are. I think it's been super dope for me. Again, once I came on board, it's been like, okay, let's just keep it rolling. Like, whenever you need, your schedule, I'm out of town. Again, reliable, vice versa. If I need something, I know I'm a phone call away for you, or vice versa. But you can see that.
And I so appreciate about that.
Oh,
about
you know. You,
because I remember I was in a bind in Vegas at that boys combine.
Oh, yeah.
At the guys combine. And I was like, JT, I need you. And you were there.
Yeah.
And that's the people you want in your life,
yes,
right?
Yes.
People that you can count on.
Yeah.
And they're in your corner and they got you.
And I think just also people who know this, I appreciate the opportunity, because of me, it was like, oh, overseas. And now when I met Tyronn Lue, was there that weekend, he was there, got to talk to Coach Lue for me, you know, just different people. And I'm like, wow, this is a blessing, but again, opportunity. But through good communication, again, we have the teams come from overseas, from, what was it? Are they from not Germany? The group that came from,
they were from all over the United States, trying to get jobs overseas, but there were some from different places,
right?
But there were all sorts of coaches from like Turkey,
all everywhere,
because it's an overseas combine.
The team from Belgium, a couple summers in a row, some of those guys we talk on Instagram now. Yeah, they come, you know, that's like they're in Belgium, but they still say, what's up, coach? And just those relationships in that time, again, for me too, those are stuff I'll never forget, because like hanging out with those guys, talking to them, making sure they're good for their time up here, it definitely has been something solid. So let's.
Oh, yeah, when I was overseas, you took over on that.
Man, that one month.
You were the right hand man.
It was fun.
You got it.
Yeah. I learned from the best. So I know we mentioned before, play for him, right? Lately, this has been moving. Like, and I appreciate you having me on as a speaker one time, and just I've been your host in the play for him. Talk a little bit about play for him, because it's another way right now for us, especially through Zoom calls now and our social media, you can reach and kind of support or reach out to different people where they're at now. They don't have to really come to us physically, to you physically, right? You can reach out to them. Talk a little bit about Play for Him.
Yeah, we do it every other Sunday. We actually started it pre-COVID, and we were doing it at places. But what I've recognized is that now doing it through Zoom, I have everybody people can come from all over the world,
mm-hmm.
from Michigan, from Texas, from Florida, you can get speakers from all over the world. And so the idea behind it is Ruthie and I do it to inspire and keep the faith and to encourage ourselves, but also to encourage everybody else. I love getting speakers and I love just hearing their stories and their testimonies, kind of like you said earlier, mm-hmm. because it encourages me in my faith. Right. And we need people around us. We need fellowship. And I think one of the biggest things we can do right now is, you know, I was talking about conviction, keeping our conviction and keeping our compassion. Mm-hmm. And when you have people around us that have the same ideals and have the same beliefs, it can really help with that in today's age right now, where it can be a frustrating day sometimes, or a frustrating week. And these kids without playing, and these kids, basically it's for the kids, it's for the parents, it's for coaches, it's for, you know, I think Division I, I think some of the NCAA coaches have to get clearance to get on because they'll be athletes on the call, high school athletes.
Right.
But it's any sport. It's football, it's baseball, it's basketball. You know, a lot of my community is basketball, so there's a lot of basketball on it. But, you know, I had Otis Amy spoke for me, and he was he's football. So, you know, it's just it's just an amazing thing. Scott Shimada from the Bay Area actually invented Play for Him as a means of getting personal testimonies, 2 to 3 minute testimonies of athletes, mm-hmm. that athletes or actors or what have you, to give their testimony, because he figured, hey, you know what? Like, we're going to listen to those people. Like, they have some persuasion, kind of, in a sense. But at the same time, I thought, you know what? Can I use that name? Because I love it, Play for Him. And I would like to do just some devotionals and just spend time with Him, just spend time with Jesus, with everybody else.
Right.
And, you know, we get our alone time with Jesus, but we need together time too. You know, that's what they call church, right?
Right.
When a bunch of believers get together.
The fellowship is definitely good.
We pray. That's church.
Yeah. I think I've met some people, again, when we were physically able to meet, just meeting other people who I, again, may know who are in the faith or in any faith, but then having them in that same room and that same setting, it's like, oh, we have something in common now as well. So it's like we're even more so to communicate more or talk about other things or reach out. It's super dope. And just the feeling that it gets, it's very, very warming in that environment for sure. Like, I can remember walking out of that gym at AR when we had ours. It was like everybody, you know, just sharing their stories, but everybody felt more somewhat open, attached, personal. And it was a good feeling, which, again, especially now, more people need to have. You know, it was
funny because we had a speaker on a couple of weeks ago, and there was a high school wrestler from Michigan on, and he said, Dean has a gift for like knowing what's going on in someone's heart. It's just the most amazing thing. I've seen it. And he talked to a couple of the players on the call, and he asked one of the players, he said, he started talking, and then he said, can I ask you a question? And the guy said, sure. And he said, have you ever met Jesus? And he said, well, I go to funerals and I go to church, you know, on Christmas time and this and that, or for weddings. And he's like, no, but have you ever had a personal connection and just talked to him like he was your friend? Or, you know, I would encourage you to do that tonight. Just start talking to him. And he literally went. He was at home and he did. He talked to him, and he just talked to him like a friend. And the next morning he texted both of us and he said, I have never been so happy, woken up so happy in my life.
Nice. Amazing.
And so it's just kind of a personal testimony for a lot of people on what, you know, when you do ask Jesus in, when you do speak on Him, when you do let Him in, like what kind of joy and peace and comfort He brings. So definitely. That's why I do Play for Him.
Super dope. Play for Him. D, I definitely want to thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for taking time out your busy day, as we know, and for just sharing some knowledge, blessing others. And again, personally for me, as we always say each other, I appreciate you, everything you've done for me, and all the opportunities you've given me to lead, participate in whatever you have going on. And, you know, again, that's made our relationship so much stronger and just appreciative every time, you know. So, like, you know, you always got somebody in me. If I ever need me, you know, I'm there for you. So I appreciate you, and thank you for being on the show as well.
You're welcome. Anytime.
All right, D.
You are awesome.
No, thank you. Thank you. Have a good evening.
All right.
Stay safe. See you soon. All right, D. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.